Yes, indeed, it is time for That's Entertainment. And a little later on, by the way, we will be giving one of you €1,000 in cash and also a €1,000 voucher to use on any celebrity cruise booking. That draw is going to take place around about 11:45. You've got about 27 minutes to buy your tickets. And as I say, this is early in the competition, so you've really good chances if you enter in winning this morning's prize. And don't forget, too, that's only a bonus. The real draw, let me put it like that, is €10,000 travel voucher to use as you wish, wherever you want. It could be numerous short-haul type holidays. It could be one big one. You'll have access to that plus €5,000 spending money. Although, as I said yesterday, that for me would be a new bathroom and I would just have the €10,000 voucher. It's all in association with Atlantic Travel. But if you want to be in with a really good chance of winning that €1,000 cash today and a €1,000 voucher to use on any celebrity cruise bookings with Atlantic Travel, go on to the website highlandradio.com and buy your tickets. The most you'll pay is €10, so if you can afford that, away you go. But you can get better value if you want to group in with other people. 6 for 50, you'll buy them for other people. 6 for 50, they're cheaper still if you buy 10 for 80. Now, if it's fully safe, secure and quick on the website, but if you want to buy your ticket in person, call into us here at Highland Radio, or if you want to call us on 07491 25000, we will hook you up. But you've got to 26 minutes now to be in the €1,000 cash draw and also that €1,000 voucher to use on any celebrity cruise bookings. All right, that's one ticket wins both, Fionnuala, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Yep. No, one right. Ticket wins both, so it's exciting.
Your mics are all crooked and whatever, but anyway, it's fine. It doesn't matter. Yeah, and your logo's pointed the wrong way and all that kind of stuff. It feels like ages since we've sat down together.
We haven't even talked about what we would do with the draw, and usually by now we've,
Well, I was warning about this. That's entertainment.
I know, but I'm just saying, the draw's been on for a few weeks. Like, that's how long it's been since we've actually talked.
Well, last Friday was Good Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's how long was Easter.
Paddy's Day.
Jeez, we're as bad as each other.
I know.
You said Good Friday, I said Easter.
Come here.
Do I get a prize for saying Paddy's Day?
I know, fairness.
I started watching Ted Lasso, right?
And from the beginning?
We're hardly going to start at the end and work my way back.
I wasn't sure you had seen season one.
I haven't. Well, I listen to everything you say. I know what you've watched and what you don't watch. And I recall I recall throughout the whole conversations about this from you, and I've heard it from others, that, you know, you don't have to know anything about football to watch it.
Yeah.
Right. I think knowing something about football and watching it is a distinct disadvantage. I know it's not a documentary. I haven't laughed once yet, and I'm halfway through season two. Now, I've sort of got a, you know, into myself, but I have not laughed.
Wow.
Is there something wrong with me, Fionnuala?
Yes.
I mean, something other than the obvious things. Something additional.
I don't really want to break it to your loved ones, but you may be dead inside.
Yeah, there's no soul, heart, no soul there.
You may be a sociopath, but, you know.
May? I think that's generous.
But look, to be honest, with the Ted Lasso, I mean, I have that, I mean.
You love it, love it, love it.
Oh my God, I've seen it numerous times. I don't tell you how often I've seen it. I throw it on all the time. If I just want to watch something, there's two or three of them, and I consider they're kind of like the way Pride and Prejudice is that book you go to. Right. It's like that little TV thing that you go to just to get the warm and fuzzies from. But when you say laugh out loud, I don't know how often I laughed, you know, out loud to myself in the house. But it does give you the warm and fuzzies. Mm. Do you not feel an affection or, you know, a connection to the characters? Plus,
it has still not been explained really this far in as to why he is doing what he's doing, right? Why he was hired. I mean, obviously he was hired to destroy the club, right?
Yeah.
That's established very early on. But what he's doing to sort of influence how the team progresses or not in any way, shape or form. Now, as I say, maybe it's not a football show, right? It's not a football show. And then this constant, pointing out the constant obvious differences between words that are used in America versus here, phrases that are used.
Well, that's just for the joke for America, like the boot.
Yeah, but it's multiple times.
Oh yeah,
it's the little metaphors too, if that's what they're called. I am not saying I'm not enjoying it, right? But I was just expecting something that I would just install as one of my go-tos or one of my favourite shows.
But is that one of those situations where people, not just yourself, but people fall into a thing where the expectations they have are unreachable? You can't possibly... It's like the last episode of Lost, the last episode of Game of Thrones, the last episode of...
Am I not clever enough to filter?
I don't know if you are, Greg. I mean, you're putting me in an Do I have to answer that question on air?
If you don't like the last one at all, I'm kind
no,
of...
No, I did. I know I did enjoy it and I kept through it and I'm going to go back to it. Don't get me wrong.
I know. I've
but
got
like
so
when
many,
you compare it to I've Murders so many, in the Buildings, for instance, which is funny and clever and...
Yeah. I know, but this is a completely different kind of show. I mean, this is... Yes.
I don't know if it is. But I don't think it is. No, different. I don't. I think they're very similar. Yeah,
I think they are. Similar.
Me, I think of them as being completely different. Yeah. You know what I mean? One is really.
This is Feluda's hands on.
One
the
is
table.
A longer title.
No.
One is a much longer title. I mean, there's more words.
One has lots of murders. One does not.
One does not have any murders.
No, because Murders in the Building is, you know, there's like nearly a story arc, as in there's a particular thing that's happening over the course of this. Ted Lasso was kind of set up. As soon as it started, then everybody knew it was going to be three series. That's what it was announced. It was a three story. So you knew it was a three story arc. But there's not really a particular story as such to it.
I think there is. Yeah, there is.
It's the emotion, the relationship.
It's more about the people. Do you know what I mean? As in, there's no, you know, if you go. Murders in the Building. Murders in the Building is, it starts off.
Yes.
Obviously, I'm not giving anything away.
There's a murder in the building.
It's in the name. There's a murder in the building.
Spoiler
and then
alert.
The whole episode then is about what did that, how did
okay,
that
okay,
well,
let me put it this way.
But
yeah,
Murders
yeah.
is about the people.
Ted Lasso is
murders
more
is about the
about
people.
The journey that the different characters are
yes,
on.
Yes, but no, there's the potential relegation promotion of a football team.
Which is really only the background thing.
There is
which
is, the...
That's more, like, again, that's just about the journey that
the people
are on. There's
the intrigue of the former owner of the club trying to get in and out of the club as it might be. There's Ted Lasso's relationship with his wife. There is the chair of the football club. Her difficulty in finding
Only Murders is about those people. Like you have the father daughter relationship with his
the
father son relationship,
me,
and it's all about the relationships of the people.
No, it is. But I think in Ted Lasso, there's no kind of overarching sort of a thing. It's really about the journey that the characters are on in this process. There's no, you know what I mean?
You're on about.
Do you know what I mean? There's no such thing like as in this.
But the promotion
is
relegation
what happens,
is very. I mean, whether or not, like, to be honest with you, I watched the first series wondering would they be relegated?
Yeah. See, I don't think about any of that kind of stuff because
to me,
the football, this could be set anywhere. It just happens to be set in football.
And I would say
because the character
the
predates Ted, the
points
show,
that
you know?
Make as well. Is the point of the show overall not that you were saying he does nothing to affect change? Isn't it about he builds teamwork. The point is, he breaks down the barriers between each one of the players. So by the end of the first season and by the end of the second season, they're functioning as a team. That's the crucial reason that Ted Lasso is there.
Because
they weren't working
characters.
Together. And I know it's a cliche and you've seen that in every sports movie, but that's what it's about.
I mean, at one point, Roy Kent comes in and has a big conversation with him and he's very upset about something and he goes, "It hurt my feeling." And I'm sorry, that's funny. If
so
you know the Roy Kent character.
In with, I don't think your expectations could have been any higher for season three.
Yes.
And I know people who started watching it nightly so that they finished the end of season two.
In time for it.
Season
it's
three
killing
started.
Me that it's week on week.
So going into it, is it everything that you wanted? Is it as good as you were expecting?
I find it as good as I was expecting because it's a little bit darker and a little bit sadder, you know, whereas it was more on a high note. And there's only two so far and there will be, I think it's 13 or something in this series. So, and they are almost an hour long each. They run anywhere between, that's the crazy thing about it is there's no set runtime for this show. Mm. You can watch one that's 40 minutes, you can watch one that's 52 minutes, 3 minutes. But it's... I do find the emotional side of it, as in I am drawn into it. You do feel that to me, when I'm watching it, I nearly feel the emotions of the people that are in it because I feel connected to them. Yeah. And I just think that's what I love about it is the characters are so well kind of, to my mind, sort of fleshed out, as in they're not, you know, they're not one dimensional. You know what I mean? Yeah. You kind of think you know everything about them.
It kind of, I think that's what Ricky Gervais kind of achieved with The Office.
It's similar in that kind of
thing. Now, whether you like the humour of it or not, people were heavily invested in will they, won't they relationships.
The emotions,
stuff,
yeah. The emotions, yeah. You
know. That's it, and the friendships between the two guys in the office and that kind of thing. Mm. I think it's very much like that. It's the same as well if you watch like Parks and Recreation, that kind
definitely.
Of thing. Similar type of thing. You kind of got totally involved in the people, which is what I like about it. So it's a little bit darker because of, again, I'm not. It's difficult to talk about it without ruining season two
finale. Yeah.
So there's a lot of different kind of threads sort of hanging now. That if this is, and they haven't actually said now, of course, that it's done so well. If they're going to stretch it out, I personally hope they don't because they've always said
well, 13, 40, 50 odd. It gives them plenty of latitude to go through.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Much as I love this show, I do hope that they end it.
Yes.
In this year,
you want to look
that
back
was their,
fondly on it.
Exactly, because yeah. You mentioned Lost, and I start getting. Heebie-jeebies because I'm still not over it.
But I love the ending of Lost. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah, loved but it. You're in Egypt. I was trying to think of another
Lost,
word.
I know, I'm sorry. When
Come
it comes
on.
To Lost,
you
I have to
be pleased.
You know, I'm fond
worked.
Of you. When it comes
worked.
To Lost, I have to agree
One
with
One of the things
Greg
about the ending of Lost is.
They when, ran out of ideas.
When you
right?
chat
they
to
ran
people.
Out of ideas.
Well, okay, I won't
they
talk.
Came in
I won't answer.
They came in and just did time travel because bloody hell, we can't.
One of the things about.
They admitted they didn't have an ending.
One of the endings of. None of what you said is true, but beyond that, it was good.
The show and 10 years later.
The ending of Lost, when I find about people who don't like the ending of Lost, is when you ask them about it. They don't understand it. Mm. Like at the end of Lost, they got off the island. That's how it ended.
I totally understand it.
They got off the island. The plane took off. Jack died. They got off the island.
My problem with the ending of Lost is that they took a TV show. They ran it for 10 years. They kept us...
Six.
People had charts. People had like... It was one of the first TV shows where there was like an internet chat rooms about it.
But is that not the problem of the people... Not the show. That's the people.
No, because what they
did was they make it for us.
Yeah, but if you have an unrealistic expectation, unrealistic expectation,
how this thing was going to end, and in the end they decided to end it the exact same way that everybody guessed it was going to be ended 10 minutes into the first.
There's a very good reason why I will never clap when a plane lands, right? Because
it's the basic expectation.
Basic expectation. When I get on that plane, the basic expectation is that the person at the front is capable of landing the plane. Okay,
I know. I
and in watching
weird.
A TV show, my basic expectation is that it has a ending, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That is some way does my commitment over many, many years and the storyline and the actors justice.
Yes.
Lost did not do that.
In your opinion.
And I did not clap.
Oh, in the opinion of anybody.
No, not necessarily
no,
true at all.
Absolutely.
Well, not in the opinion of Michael.
No, definitely not.
No, but we're writing him off.
Yeah. Point to the death.
We're writing him off at this point. That's just crazy talk.
So what would you give the ending of Lost out of 10?
Oh, God. Like something I watched 15 years ago. You want me to review it now without rewatching?
Oh, my God.
I don't know what's going on.
I'd say it's probably a solid 8. Like the last season
that's
was probably
right. Hey,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, it's
that's
pretty
good.
Solid. Yeah.
All right. So you're.
I mean, at the end of the day, they got. I mean, this is spoiler, but the plane took off. Jack lost his life to do that, but he saved the people. He took on the responsibility of saving those people.
Do you remember though the amount of time we. Were trying to figure out what the noises and beeps and all, and they never actually, they didn't have a plan for it.
They didn't, no.
They didn't have a plan for it.
I don't think I ever got caught up in that.
Yeah, but we did.
Yeah, but then weren't you the fool?
99%.
No, yes.
No, because they wrote it and then they admitted.
They said you missed the whole point of Lost.
They said at the, like Damon Lindelof said during the run of it, that they never had. They never had. He said, we don't have a reason. We don't know what the numbers are.
I used to get mad in Breaking Bad, right? Not
Breaking Bad?
No,
No,
where they're trying to get out of the prison. What's that?
Prison break.
I used to get mad whereby you would spend 2 episodes really invested in them digging a hole.
Yes.
Right? And then at the start of the 3rd episode, someone would discover it, fill it in, and then it would move on to something. There was no payoff for it. I found that really frustrating. Mm. And that was just a couple of episodes. They teased the beeps or whatever it was or the numbers or what they meant.
The numbers were a big one, yeah.
Right? Forever. Yeah. And we were all so invested in it. And then they admitted that they really hadn't concluded what they meant or whatever. Yes. And they never tied that
up. Like
that's not fair, Mark.
No, it'd be like as if you're watching a horror movie and there's noises in the house and then it turns out that the people have mice.
Yeah.
You know, like
but it took 6 years.
You've spent,
yeah, but it took 6 years to get to that.
So you're like 2 hours into this movie, every time there's a noise or a bump, you jump, and then it suddenly turns out that the exterminator shows up at the end and kills all the mice and job done.
Okay.
You're like, yes.
Defence counsel now, you have the final say before the jury retires to consider its verdict. I'm the jury.
I would say if you watched Lost and were invested in the characters and the character arcs, not that nonsense that you're chatting about, it was a very satisfying
decision. I find against you and you're imprisoned
forevermore.
Life. I mean,
do I get a Desert Island disc? Do I get to bring a box set with me?
Different radio
box
station.
Box set.
Kevin from Dunlow says, I'd like to mention the sad passing of Lance Reddick, who passed away a week today
on
St. Patrick's Day.
Terrible.
What better day? I know the name might not mean much to some, which I think is a really good observation here, but the face is very much recognisable.
Oh, and the voice.
He was a familiar figure when you saw him. You were guaranteed a good show. Although he was only in Lost for a while, he may have made it better, but we'll never know now. As far as I know, his last appearance will be in John Wick 4, the 3 hour files, the 3 hours flies in. That comes in from Kevin in Dunlow. And a lot of the great shows that you know, he was in, only 60 years of age as well.
Oh, man.
Loved him in everything. He was kind of the same in everything, but that was okay with me.
I have no problem.
No, I think people should just Google his picture, because you'll hear the name and you'll hear people talking about him. And you'll be like, what's that all about? And then you'll see him. He was a huge, big, tall black man. I mean, he looked like he was about, on every show he was on anyways, he looked like he could have been 6'4".
Camera was always pointing up.
I know, 6'4". He gave the impression on everything that he was a big, tall. So he tended to play like authoritarian figures and that kind of thing. And his voice was fantastic as well.
John Wick he was in?
John Wick he was in. Bosch.
Was he in The Wire?
He was in The Wire. He was in Fringe. He did appear on a few episodes of Lost. He was did a lot of voiceover work, game work and stuff like that. And he's very much beloved in the gamer community. Mm. For me, it's Bosch, because he was certainly over some seasons of Bosch, he was as much the lead, because Irving was as much the primary character in some of those seasons, particularly when his son was killed and he launched an off-book investigation to find out who was doing that.
Because he could show some vulnerability in there as well.
Yeah, fantastic,
Wasn't he in the Baltimore TV cop
The Wire.
TV
The
show.
Wire.
Yeah. No, not the one prior to that. There was like
Homicide.
I think he was in.
If
that
he was
well.
In it,
I think he was in the end of that.
Oh, okay.
He's
before
been
it became
the,
Law
he's
and
been
Order.
In the
you know,
Blacklist.
Before that kind of Law and Order.
Let me see. What else was he in? I was in so much stuff.
Fringe is another one. Like
Fringe
I'm one of the lads I share with. He obsessively rewatches Fringe every couple of years. Loves it.
I am shocked.
And he. He was gutted. Like it's like that's one of those people
to.
Like,
he's
only 60, like as Greg said, he's only 60 years old.
Yeah. For a man whose name, if somebody had said to me, "Oh, the name passed away," as soon as his picture popped up on any of the social media feeds, I did take a minute to go, "Oh God."
Yeah.
I really enjoyed his work.
Yeah, fantastic work.
He was in brilliance. What a body of work he has.
Incredible body of work.
But as I say,
very sad.
60 years of age is way, way too young. Mm. Right, we are going to take a break. 9 minute warning now, folks. If you want to be in with a chance to win €1,000 in cash and €1,000 voucher for an Atlantic Holidays cruise, you need to buy your tickets in the next 9 minutes. So you can do it on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be loading the Trombola literally as you book your tickets. You can get one for a tenner and then you can get them discounted as you buy 6 for 50, 10 for 80, okay? And you can put them in different names, your own name, whatever it might be. If you're intending to enter the €10,000 holiday prize plus €5,000 cash draw, get in the next 9 minutes, because you get effectively what would be a free entry in to win €1,000 in cash, €1,000 holiday voucher. It's early in the competition. The odds are good. Get in right now if you can. If you need to call us, you need to be very quick. Can't guarantee, by the way, in case there is a rush on the phones, but we'll try our best. 074-91-25,000. And a caller says, I watched Cocaine Bear last week. Fun film right from the start. Not one to watch with the kids. And I think in your review of it, Michael, you suggested same. By the way, if you've got any comments on anything you've watched or you're going to watch, or you want to know what anyone thinks, let us know. 086 60 25,000. I found it a strange situation in that Cocaine Bear is just a low to medium budget film that ended up being debated on call-in shows and chat shows, and one person saying it's terrible what they did to that bear before they were told it was all computer graphics and stuff. It's just a cheap horror film, a slasher film. It's nothing more, nothing less, Michael. I mean, you can't go in with high expectations. That's all it is.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's Sharknado.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably a bit above that, but yeah, you're in the right thing. Oh no, you're absolutely 100% correct. No, it is what it is. It's sort of a mid-budget. It's not meant to be high art, but it's when those movies are done well, and I like those kind of movies. Mm. If they're done well, and rarely have I seen them done as well as this one, there can be a lot of fun. So this is one of those done well, and you're just there to see the gore and see what weird things they can do. And the special effects are amazing. The bear looks amazing. The bear looks real, but it's not a real bear because it's like rolling around on the ground, you know, high. Yeah, basically, it's a high bear.
We haven't got to that level of training of animals yet. Hopefully we never will.
But there's a long line of these movies. I always reference 1978.
Careful with your phraseology.
Piranha, the 1978 version with Heather Menzies, which is
similar.
So much fun.
No, I didn't dangle my feet in the water off the pier after, in Mullen Assault for a long time after watching that.
And Heather Menzies is in that, and I had a crush on her from the Logan's Run TV series and stuff. I rewatched it a couple of years ago, and it's still hilarious. Those things are funny, they're funny. So. You're not meant to. And Cocaine Bear is great fun. But yeah, you don't bring the kids or granny, maybe.
Right now. We have God Creatures starring Emily Watson and Paul Mescal opening in cinemas tonight. The film, of course, was shot in Donegal. It'll be on release in Century Cinemas Letterkenny and Eclipse Cinemas in Lifford and Bundoor. And described as a powerful drama set in a windswept fishing village, a mother's torn between protecting her beloved son and her own sense of right and wrong, a lie she tells for him. Rips apart their family and close-knit community in what's described as a tense, sweepingly emotional epic. Shane Crowley is the screenwriter. He joins us now. Shane, good morning to you, and congratulations on getting everything in the bag and able to look forward to now opening the doors for the public to see this work.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheers, Greg, man. Probably not one for the kids either necessarily, but yeah, no, a very proud moment to bring it to Irish audiences for sure, man.
Yeah, tell us, I gave a brief outline of the story and it's compacted, but in your own words, is that the story for you or how would you describe it, Shane?
Yeah, for sure. I guess it's kind of like this, I guess we all know the prodigal son tale about, you know, the son coming back into his parents' house and stuff like that. So I guess there's a certain amount of that to it, about this kind of guy, an Irish guy who went to Australia and worked for a number of years. He left the family home and then he comes back into it. And I guess the film gives you the sense of, you know, like maybe like why he left and, you know, the kind of problems that might have come beforehand. It's just kind of like about this kind of family of oyster farmers. And like he kind of had the sense of failure leaving and then coming back into it. He comes back with all this old baggage, like, that he's unaware, like the community has moved on without him. And it's mostly about his relationship with his mother and the mother's perspective of him. So the delight and the joy that she feels in his, you know, like renewed presence in her home, kind of like this kind of classic Irish mammy. But yeah, he comes back and he's unaware probably of the changing times and the nature of changing relationships. And he commits an act of sexual violence against like an old friend that he doesn't question. And when he's pursued in court by his victim, the mother lies for him and the community kind of shelter and protect him. And it just kind of tracks how and why that happens and why the mother makes her decision to do that. And then like the poisoning awareness of what her son has done and like the lie that she's told. And the kind of about this sense of denied justice that the victim has, you know, experienced, like the re-victimization of her. So it's just something that we were interested in exploring as storytellers, because obviously I think in every small community in Ireland or, you know, everywhere in the, like it's quite a global and universal thing, I would say, that there's just, you know, these privileges that men were given for a long time, for long times. And yeah, about these kind of small communities closing ranks around rapists.
So, I mean, obviously you're tackling a very serious issue and have a story to tell in relation to that, but you have a story to tell as well, okay, that has a beginning, a middle and an end, but also obviously then you're writing about relationships. And I'm just curious, as a writer, where does all of that rank? Do you know what I mean? Because a lot of most people, thankfully, who will watch it, right, will not be able to, or will have not have experienced the actual storyline itself, but they will perhaps be able to recognize emotions that they've felt in relationships or didn't feel in relationships and want for. So how do you balance all those elements? What's the most important thing for you, for the audience member to get from it?
It's a good question. I guess we want to challenge people to like feel Aileen's joy at her son's coming home after being so long away, and to understand that feeling maybe like can be kind of uncomfortable because it informs the decision that she then makes to protect her son. And, you know, I guess like having talked to people who watched the film, like they have said that they can initially understand what she's done. But then it's like, I mean, that's exactly the point that we're trying to challenge, is like it's not morally right to make that decision to protect the people you love most when they've done wrong, you know? So it's just like, yeah, instances where the people you loved have done very challenging things, and what have you done in similar circumstances? Do you know what I mean? I mean, that might be quite
what might you do?
About.
Yeah, I get you, Shane. Now, pardon my ignorance, Shane, and just in the filmmaking process, right? So you write and deliver the screenplay. Then in terms of how a film is shot or on set and, then post-production, and pardon me if I'm not using the correct terminology, like, what's your involvement beyond sort of saying, right, there's the finished screenplay, generally speaking, or what's your preference even, maybe, if it's individual?
This is my first ever feature screenplay. Obviously, the directors and the producers had made other, and the producer, Fola, had made other films. But I guess we all worked very closely together on the script and on the story for a number of years. Myself and Fola came up with the story, and I wrote the script. So then we came up with that in 2013 and wrote it for 8 years until it got, like, it didn't go into production until 2021. And usually the case is that the writer would not be on set unless they're the directors themselves. But I have a relationship with the directors, we're great buddies now, that they wanted me there just in case, like, there was any questions or... They created a very much like a family environment, because I had been in rehearsals and it had, you know, got exposed to the relationships and, you know, with Emily and Paul and Aisling and Tony and Declan. So, yeah, it was just, it felt quite natural for me to be on set. I don't think I did, I didn't answer any great questions or provide any massive insights. But it was amazing to be in and around the action and stuff like that, because it opened my eyes to the, you know, the actual teamwork that it takes to make a film like this. It's not the genesis of any one or two people, but it's like it takes a village to make a film, I think.
Yeah, and finally, Shane, you know, when a book reader, when someone reads a book, they visualise the characters, attribute accents and mannerisms and what have you. I presume through the writing process that happens as well. How close to what you imagined in the writing of this is the finished product? And it doesn't have to be exactly the same. There's no right or wrong answer to that, if you know what I mean. I'm just curious as to for someone who's written the work and how it ends up, how aligned are the two?
Pretty aligned, man, yeah. Very much aligned. I think now, to be honest with you, it's 2 years since I wrote anything on the script, and I've watched the film now a number of times. So it's like the film is now ingrained in my brain and in my kind of thinking. So I have no separation between the two. And I think that's a great feeling to have, to be honest with you, because if you had any preciousness or about it, you know, it might be the best experience in the world.
That sounds like success.
But yeah, no.
Yeah.
Pardon?
That sounds like success. That sounds like a good result.
100% success. Yeah, amazing success. And listen, just before, you cut me off or anything, I just want to give a shout out to the people in Teelin, Kilcar and in Ardrad and Killybegs who kind of welcomed us with open arms during the shoot, and just to tell them all that it was the most amazing time. And yeah, we'd love, hopefully they get to see the film and to see their kind of beautiful part of the world represented on screen.
Yeah, indeed. And there's a very important element to that as well, the amount of eyes that will be able to see that. And it really does have an impact in terms of visitor numbers and what have you. On a personal level, Shayna, congratulations to you. It's a wonderful achievement. And we just wish you continued success. And hey, bring your films back to Donegal all the time. You're more than welcome, of course, as you know.
Thank you, kindly. You're a legend. Take care, man.
Bye-bye. All right, that is... Shane Crowley, who's a screenwriter. His film God Creature stars Emily Watson and the man of the moment, it feels like, Paul Mescal. It's opening in cinemas tonight, Friday the 24th of March. It was shot in Donegal, of course. You heard Shane give a shout out to the particular areas. It'll be on release in Century Cinemas Letterkenny and Eclipse Cinemas in Lifford and Bundoran. And we shall see. Are you going to go and see that, either of the two of you?
Yeah, I might go and see it over the weekend. But yeah. I have to say, the luck of that must be unbelievable, that, you know, an Irish-made, Irish-written film, and then the Paul Mescal gets that break from Afterlife, wasn't it? No, After Sun. Mm-hmm. After Sun. You know, that so many people who may not have gone to see this, but now that he's in it, you know what I mean, with that extra thing. It's fantastic for them. The
Will cocaine attract many tourists? Because, of course, it's also a heavily taxpayer-funded film, Cocaine Bear.
Will it attract...
visitors? To where was it filmed? Wicklow?
Oh, yeah, down in the...
No, but we funded it, right?
Oh,
so
I know,
I'm just asking, will...
are people aware? We actually paid for that movie.
But are people,
yeah, of course.
Now I'm really upset about that movie.
Paying any film that's made here.
No, I know. Oh, yeah, I didn't actually realise Cocaine Bear was made here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's all made in the Wicklow Mountains.
They came here to... They came here to use the woods.
The film board.
That's one of our bears.
But it's tax breaks.
That's one of our bears.
Tax breaks and stuff.
Was it our cocaine? Did they use our cocaine just to really rub salt in the wound?
Or to rub cocaine?
Okay, no, I don't think so. I don't think it actually probably would have actually been real cocaine.
It was CGI cocaine CGI bear.
We have paused the lines on our competition right now. Obviously, if there's anything that needs to be processed in the next couple of minutes, we're not going to leave anyone high and dry, but the lines are officially just paused for 7 minutes, okay? Until such time as we make a draw. Let's see, is the trombola there? It is. Look at it, all in shot. Amazing. Okay. We'll be back with more chat, of course, and that draw. If you want to watch it live, by the way, to make sure there's no shenanigans, who's doing the draw?
Me.
Right, okay.
Michael Bradley.
I want, now this is all done very legit, and we've always do it legit, but keep your hands out so we can see them and put them in and that, you know, just...
Okay. More gesticulation is what you're looking for.
Yeah, it's like really, it's a very important role that you have, and it's your trombola and all that. Right, we'll be back.
I love my trombola.
That trombola.
You never mentioned that.
I know. I'm very quiet.
This is new information for me.
That's my...
Right, so it is time. We have a fantastic holiday to give away, a holiday package to give away. All my details have been put in this box. Right, we are asking you, have you bought your tickets for the Highland Radio Mega Draw this Easter? You could win a €10,000 travel voucher with €5,000 spending money. It's in association with Atlantic Travel. The lucky winner can choose anywhere in the world to travel, either one big blowout or multiple trips. It's your choice. Your €10,000 will take care of you whenever and wherever you wish to travel. And you've got €5,000 cash spending money, but that's your money to do with what you wish as well. Right, we've just paused very briefly our ticket sales just for a minute or two because we're now about to do the draw for €1,000 cash plus €1,000 voucher to use on any celebrity cruise bookings. Now, cruising has become all the rage now. Maybe it had a reputation in the past, I don't know, but I know people of all different types that are cruisers, and apparently once you go, that's it. You're stuck in it for life. You love it. And all you talk about is cruising. Yeah, have you been on one yet?
No, I'm looking at one now for next year because it was this year, but I couldn't do the dates because it happened to be in May when we're supposed to be in Glasgow.
It's your half birthday.
May is my full birthday.
Full birthday.
November is my half birthday.
Nearly celebrates two birthdays a year.
You're
by
eight
the way.
And a half now, yeah? Okay.
I love it. You should always treat yourself. It's a way in which being nice to yourself.
I've been told
and you should
that before,
take all the opportunities to be nice to yourself that you
else
can.
Before me.
Yeah, you should never do that.
I do.
So I'm looking at a cruise for next year, and I love that
about
this.
You're my hero.
I love that about this. This is my favourite one of all the draws. And I always find it so funny when people are kind of like, oh, really? What would you do with 10,000 euro voucher? I'm like, let me list the ways.
But listen,
because you don't have to spend it all yourself as well.
What I would do is, right, and I was in with Atlantic Travel, actually, by the way, a day or two ago, because I haven't been anywhere for God knows how long. I would do multiple holidays, personally speaking. That would be where I would get it for me. I'm not really interested in the Lapland or the Disney World. Maybe I might be in a couple of years, but at the moment I'm not.
Yeah, you're
or
not in that space.
Singapore for 2 weeks or what. It's just, it's not for me, right? I would be doing probably, I think you could probably get, depending on what time of the year you go, a good 6 or 7 little breaks out of that. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, yeah, you could at least, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it depends on whether you know, full board, half board and all that razzmatazz. So this really kind of sorts out your holidays for quite a period of time. So I do it in chunks, little chunks is what
that's
I would
do. That's it. And if you family members, you can also say, either give them a gift of some...
the voucher, like you can sell
them. Well, I mean, if you wanted to take some of the money for it, you could sell them some of the voucher. You can do all kinds of things with it. It opens it.
But that's what you might do, which you wouldn't even dream of doing, okay?
I'm right. A warm, so
would you
generous
do the one
person.
Big one, or would you do...
I think I'd do the one big one. I'm at that but I'm at that point in my life where, as they say, I've neither a chit nor a child, so it's fine. And what I've always dreamed about doing is like doing a month. Yeah. You know the way I always think, oh, that's what you do, is just go somewhere
city
like
hop or
do
resort hop. Yeah.
I'd love to do Japan. I'd love to do kind of East, you know, I've never really been anywhere in the eastern part of the world, all of that sort of thing, and that you'd sort of like hop around and do a few bits. I've always wanted to do the South Island in New Zealand, which...
Have you tried any of the other islands?
The North is fabulous. Yep. And it's supposed to be the crappy end of New Zealand. Right. So I'm like, if the North is that fabulous, I can't even... The South is, you can actually go down one side and see all the cities. I've said this before. Then at the bottom, you can go out on a small cruise and see the fjords, and they've all this, you know, and... because it's obviously freezing cold down at that end. There's icebergs and all that crack. And then you come up the other side then and you go through the Malvern region, which is where they don't make a bad wine or cider.
Sounds fantastic.
You need cash for that.
What would you do, Michael?
Neither, can I just ask, neither chick nor child. Frula, you're both. To me, anyway, you're both chick and child in my eyes. I'd probably do something very TV oriented. I'd love to go to Vancouver where they filmed the Highlander TV series.
That's perfect. You see, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I'd love to visit the sites of that. Toronto, I'd love to go back to Toronto this time to see where they filmed other TV shows. Paris, they filmed Highlander there. Particular places I would visit that I'm now more aware. So yes, TV generated stuff.
I didn't realise the nerd in you was all encompassing.
It is.
I thought it was just little. But it's literally...
You thought it was just on a Friday between 11 and 12.
No.
Actually, I carry it home. I'm like this at home.
Psychopathy, isn't that what they say when it's like deep inside in your...
I think you do really cheap because I think you would fly economy. And yes, stay in really, really cheap but functional accommodation with a backpack. I don't think you ever carry a hard case.
That wouldn't worry to me. That wouldn't be an issue. Yeah.
We would be on the exact same holiday, but I would be in first class. And then
we'd be texting each other.
I would be in... while I'm in the 5-star hotel up the road, he'd be in the hostel.
I'd be in the hostel, yeah.
But we would have a great time on holidays together. We would just never actually be...
He wouldn't matter. Top bunk, bottom bunk, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Right, let's do this. Okay, it is draw time, everybody. It's all very, very exciting. The draw drum is there. It's been, it has been rotated quite a bit already, but do you want to do it for dramatic effect?
Or do we see if we're giving a spin?
Okay, for those of you listening, it's amazing. It is beautiful. Yeah, she's hugging it, by the way.
I just love it.
That's love.
Yeah, okay. It is love.
It stays in my office when it's not in use.
Let's see if we can dig.
We're good? Yeah. I go myself? Yes. Or Michael, do you want to pull it out?
Do we do it?
Okay. All right.
So Michael is digging his hands in, he's looking away, he's rummaging around. Excellent stuff. And he's pulling a single one out. Right, and he's going to present it to this camera here, if you want to.
Which camera here?
This one here, yeah, if you want to. There, look. Rotate it so it's readable. 0720. The winning ticket is 0720. We'll leave that one out for a bit. You can take your seats now. We'll put that back in once we identify the winner. So... ticket. Not yet. We'll keep it out just to verify, if that's okay. So someone, the winner, the holder of that ticket has just won €1,000 in cash, which you can spend this weekend if you want, and a €1,000 voucher to use on a celebrity cruise booking, which if a cruise is not on your horizon, you can sell that. I mean, I'm sure you can transfer
But the thing about the celebrity cruises, which people should look up and see, is that they actually do a lot of short-haul ones.
2-3 day ones, yeah.
So if something that you've never done before, it's a way in which kind of dipping your toe into the cruising world, because I'm always like that. You see some of them and they're fabulous, but they're like 15 days and you're like, oh God, could I spend 15 days?
Is anyone doing anything with that number? Are you trying to find out the winner? Okay, they are, No, everyone's having a chat out there and I was wondering, do they know?
I'm sure they are.
Okay.
But the thing about celebrity cruises is you can check them out and see. They're actually like a lot of them are the short haul ones. That €1,000 would actually get you the whole cruise. It will get one person through the whole cruise. That's the kind of way that they work. You know, to me, I always think of them as being nearly like the teaser cruises, as in dip your toe in the water, see whether or not this is something that you like. If it's something that you've always wanted to try just for the experience, they're well worth checking them out. And thank you to Atlantic Travel for coming on with us as well.
Yeah, and call in. It's not something I've done before. Call in and there's no point guessing. You go in and you speak to professionals and they know what the crack is. Do you know what I mean? That's the
absolutely
good thing about that whole...
I know, and people sometimes think, oh, well, they'll just book the flights or whatever and you don't need to go through a travel agent. But you forget, the travel agent can put the whole package together for you in a way that you're hassle-free, and God forbid anything goes wrong with the flights not coming back or that the accommodation isn't up to scratch. You're not on your own. You have that backup and support. You have the insurance that comes from the travel agents. Being there, you know, I think it's a resource that we've nearly kind of forgotten about the importance of it for a lot of people. And it's good, as you said, call in and see the kind of packages and value that you can get from them.
For sure. And that expertise and experience takes the guesswork out of a lot of it. All right. So we are waiting to see if we can get the winner on the phone. If not, we'll announce it very shortly. The number was 0720-0720. It seems that every time we pull a ticket out, the word Carrigart is mentioned. I don't know. It just feels like we had a couple of winners from that area. Oh. We've had winners from all over the place as well, though. But do you want to guess where they're from?
No.
I'm not saying let's play a game.
I'm useless to guessing where they're from. Because I have to say, I'm here 10 years and I still keep hearing new townlands.
Okay.
It's amazing to me.
Oh,
every once in a while, you answer the phone and talk to somebody.
Right, okay. Good morning, Patrick. How are you getting on?
Great, how are you? Grand.
I'm doing good. So do you know why I'm calling you?
Good idea.
Did you buy a ticket?
I did last Monday, yeah. I bought 10 tickets, yeah.
Right, well, I've stolen Lee Gooch's clapping because you have won €1,000 in cash and a €1,000 voucher for a cruise with Atlantic Travel. Congratulations, Patrick Badley Bongrana.
Oh, my
God. Well done. Congratulations.
Lucky at last.
Excellent. Lucky
at
last.
Thank you very much.
All right. So
you're
going to go and have a look at these cruises, aren't you? Because I don't know. Have you been on a cruise before?
Yeah, a few years back, yeah. It was through up there, yeah.
Really? Oh, wow. So you just go back to Atlantic Travel again and see what else you get. Brilliant. And also,
tickets let you know, yeah.
Exactly. And also that €1,000, that's for you. That's for your pocket, and you can do with
what
you
want. Fantastic.
All right. Congratulations, Patrick. Well done to you.
And tell the Atlantic people I'll see them shortly.
Hey, that's what we want to hear. All right. And your ticket now, by the way, 0720 is about to go back into our draw drum, right? That's going to actually happen on camera so everyone can see it happening. So you may well win the big one as well. But congratulations for now. Have a lovely weekend.
That's great.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Great. Thank
Take
you.
Care. Bye-bye, Thanks. Patrick. Okay, Patrick Bradley in Bongrana. 0720 was his number. He won. You could hear the happiness in his voice. And I think there was someone else in the car with him as well. He has been on a cruise before, booked through Atlantic Travel.
There you go.
And he's going to go back to Atlantic Travel and have a look again.
That's it, fantastic. It's amazing to me all the people who've been on cruises. You know, it's one of those things you kind of have in your head. Oh, I'd love to try it.
But do you know what I love about our draws? And I've said it before, and it's not to take away from anyone else's. Is because this is why we broadcast into the Northwest here. Right, it's not like a Facebook one that, you know, people are buying tickets all over the world or what have you. And invariably, although not exclusively, people can buy tickets from wherever they like. But it's someone, that crazy connection that Patrick's already booked something through Atlantic Travel. Do you know what I mean? I love that.
Yeah.
I love that side of things. The lines, by the way, are now open for you once again. So if you want to purchase your tickets for the €10,000 voucher and the €5,000 cash, the website is accepting, of course, your ticket purchases again. And if you want to give us a call, 07491 25000.
Perfect. Right. I just want to give a mention out as well to people, because we're still getting calls from people who don't seem to realise that the Daniel O'Donnell concert that was postponed from the 18th of March 2020 is now happening on Tuesday in the Mount Argyll Hotel. Doors open at 7 o'clock. And if anybody has tickets from the 2020, we didn't redo the tickets because it just would have been crazy to try and get them out to the individuals. So just bring your old tickets, come to the door. That's what we're accepting as coming in. And if anybody has any problems with their tickets or anything like that, bring proof of purchase and we'll be able to work around it. But contact us if there's any issues, and just let people know. If you know anybody that had them back in the day, remind them again.
All right, okay. Michael, thank you very much for calling in. I always enjoy your company, especially when you're a bit edgy like you were today. I like that.
Daft is a better way to describe it.
Fionnuala Abbott, thank you very much indeed.
All right, chick.
Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Stay safe and have fun if you can. We're back with you Monday morning at 9. Have a wonderful weekend. I said that already, didn't I? Thanks to Donna Marie Doherty, who researched and produced the programme. Caroline Orr, of course, who's always working on it, but she's working on a show we're doing next week, which I'll tell you more about on Monday. John Bresson's next.